Welcome to another exciting episode of TV Talkers, everybody. Live at 5:30 on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Tiago, along with
Matt,
Farron,
and the unusual guy, Simon.
Yep, and we're here for another episode. We have BoJack Horseman is our topic for tonight, and we are going to be talking about the show, seeing as the fifth season is premiering this Friday, September 14th.
Ooh.
Yep, so we are going to be doing a BoJack-themed episode and basically going to be talking about anything and everything related to the show. But before we start, we have our annual, or our annual, our weekly segment, Today in TV History.
I don't know if this is one of those like ASMR, ASMR? I don't know.
ASMR.
ASMR mics, where it's like it comes at you from the angles, but that's what I want from people. It's like it's, you know.
You can get it from multiple
here.
Angles, yeah.
Now I'm over here.
Wow.
It worked. Actually, I like that, so don't knock them.
My one person listening to headphones out there, you're my market.
So in terms of TV history today, we have... thank you, Simon, for the sound effects. We have... just counting here. 14
Sweet
things that happened today.
Baby James!
Holy TV news, Batman. That's going to be up next. But anyways, today is Monday, September 10th, 2018. And today in TV history, we have 14 items, as I said.
Are we going to do all 14 or top 3?
Absolutely, all 14. They're short.
Rattle them off.
Today, here we go. On September 10th, 1950, Eddie Cantor began working on TV on the Colgate Comedy Hour on NBC.
What the?
September 10th, 1953, Swanson began selling its first TV dinner.
Oh.
September 10th, 1955, Gunsmoke premiered on CBS. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most longest-running shows on TV. It had, I think, 659 episodes, something like that.
Sweet Jesus.
Yep. And also on September 10th, 1955, Burt Parks began a 25-year career as host of the Miss America pageant on NBC. On September 10th, 1966, the Rolling Stones appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. On September 10th, 1975, the first episode of Starsky and Hutch was aired by ABC. One that they forgot, but I just remembered today, thank you to Twitter. On September 10th, 1984, Jeopardy returned to the TV waves, and Alex Trebek has been hosting ever since its return date, which was this day in 1984. 34 years of hosting, as we discussed weeks ago on TV Talkers. September 10th, 1990, NBC began airing the series The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. 2 years later, September 10th, 1992, Howard Stern appeared as Fartman on the MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh, that was like a noteworthy moment in TV history.
Absolutely, I guess so. September 10th, 1993, in the following year, the first episode of X-Files aired on Fox. The series finale was aired on May 19th, 2002.
I guess we should expect all the TV show premieres to be in the middle of September.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
September 10th, 1995, Cyndi Lauper won an Emmy for her guest appearance on Mad About You.
Get right out of town.
Absolutely.
Cyndi Lauper.
You got it. Wow. September 10th, 2000, NBC's The West Wing won a record 9 Emmy Awards.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It did. September 10th, 2002, it was reported that the Cartoon Network had purchased the television rights for the Fox animated series Futurama.
Ooh.
And finally, September 10th, 2006, ABC aired the first part of its miniseries, The Path to 9/11. The version that aired had several scenes edited or deleted following protests from Clinton administration officials. The second part was scheduled to air the following evening. That is
and
all we have.
Nothing happened in the last 12 years.
What an ominous way to end TV history.
Yeah, right? I know. Very ominous indeed, as you said.
Like
well
a
put there.
Sad to choo 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 choo.
Yeah, or like a choo choo choo. And our next segment, TV news. Farron said she has some news for us.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Farron.
I get random Google alerts sometimes. I don't remember signing up for any of them, but
sometimes they're wrong.
Do any of
sometimes
us?
They happen. Oh.
Yeah, I've been told a couple, like, I got told a couple months ago by Google that it was like, hey, a new Tool album's out. And I'm like, what? And then I Googled it and everyone was like, no.
Well, this one was legit because I checked the person's Instagram that it was about.
Okay, good.
And there's something there. But, Matt, you'll find this exciting.
Ooh.
Ooh. We'll find it.
Just me. No one else.
Just Matt. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'll see in a second when I pull up my screenshot.
Only him because no one else
can see
it.
That only Matt will know.
Yeah. Yeah. She will show me. We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, that's cool. So we'll move on.
Top-notch radio over here. But, Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black and Bryan Cranston are going to be co-starring in a Broadway musical.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do we know which Broadway musical or just a
It is called Network.
Okay.
And it is a remaking of the 1976 film.
Oh,
yes.
Cool.
Can Bryan Cranston sing? Is there
sure, he sure
do?
Can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, a lot of like the male roles in musicals don't necessarily have like difficult singing.
No.
Like
Daniel Radcliffe recently starred in a musical.
Yeah.
He can't
and
sing.
Alan Rickman was in Sweeney Todd. Demon Barber Fleet Street, he couldn't really sing either. Mm. But with like training they learn how to like not like
sing enough.
Go out of pitch, which is all that like really matters for a lot of those roles.
You can sort of talk, act, sing through.
You can do that with like with movies. I remember watching the behind the scenes of Mamma Mia because I'm that guy, and that's what they were like. They apparently went to the actor who was Stellan Skarsgård, and they were like, "Can you sing?" He's like, "No." Can you sing in a movie? Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it's a
because
lot of
they can
like
make you fly in a movie, so of course they can make you sing.
Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of like singing the same note for a long time and then just like holding the end one and
can
it's
do
like
that again.
That's
just
no. I don't want to do it again.
Okay.
But Maslany, who is a phenomenal actress, she's won Emmys. Her character is a ratings obsessed news producer. So it kind of relates to television, the topic of the musical, and it's starring two big TV actors. So should be interesting.
Nice.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always down for more musicals.
Yes. Matt and I like musicals, for those of you that don't know that.
Me
that's
and,
why
me
I
and
said
Tiago definitely
Matt
don't
would
like
it.
I like musicals, but
that was sarcasm.
You're not like, okay, Matt and I talk about musicals all the time. I've never talked about musicals other than when we just talked about Mamma Mia with the two
you
of you.
Tried.
That is true. You all have right. not tried.
Let's move on so I don't cry, guys.
Moving on to not a musical, but BoJack Horseman. Farron, Matt, take it away.
There you go.
I love BoJack Horseman.
Okay, that's not what I meant.
Matt, how far did you get?
I was pretty busy this week. I got through maybe like 7 or 8 episodes.
Nice.
So 3/4 of the way or so through the first season.
To be fair, the previous show gave him some homework to do, too.
So. Yes, that is true.
Homework all around.
Yeah.
And it's school time.
Yeah, who's in school?
There's no homework yet for school. There shouldn't be.
There definitely is. There's always homework. There's probably an exam tomorrow.
I know people who have tests like this week already.
Yeah.
But
Matt, you
English
said
majors.
7 or 8 episodes.
Yeah.
What was the last episode you watched?
Yeah.
I fell asleep watching it yesterday, honestly. I don't remember exactly.
Okay. Do you know what was happening at all? What had happened previous? Something recently that you remember?
What year was it?
I know
it
you
was
watched
at 9:13 p.m.
I know you watched the Prickly Muffin episode.
What stage
yes,
of the
I think
moon
I got
was
one
it?
Past that.
Okay.
Never mind. Too far. Okay.
So I'm just going to go ahead and ask a question here. So Farron and Matt, pitching the show to people who have never seen the show, what would either of you say and why would you tell someone to watch BoJack Horseman? I almost said Game of Thrones, but BoJack Horseman.
Wow.
Two
so
totally
similar.
Identical shows.
If you
shows.
Liked Game of Thrones, that means nothing about if you'll like BoJack Horseman.
Yeah. Yeah. If you like Game of Thrones, there is a completely random chance that you may also like BoJack Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's weird, but not in a super out there way. The comedy isn't particularly strange. It's more just like the premise and the setup of the show. Is
yes
for a beginner to the show anyway is strange but really interesting.
For the first season it's weird because as you get deeper into the show and as you watch more of it, the less it feels strange and the more it feels normal, which is kind of like a reflection for how the real world can be very strange. I know things happen in the real world where you're like, this is so like bizarre, and you start to sort of like I've seen the first four seasons like three or four times. And when season five comes out, I'm going to watch season five, and then I'm going to rewatch season five, and then I'm going to rewatch it again from the beginning. I already have a plan.
And this whole thing will take 2 days.
I like it.
And this whole thing will take 2 days. Sorry for all of my schoolwork. And there's so many like little things, little moments that connect that, and little things that characters say that make you connect with what they're saying and what's happening that, It's hard once the first season's a little bit different, and even I just rewatched it recently and it does feel different, but especially seasons 3 and 4, it's hard to not feel a connection to the characters. So if you like shows where you connect with the characters, even if they aren't going through a path in life that is similar to yours, then I highly recommend. Like, there's an asexual character, and I'm not asexual, but there's so many aspects of that character's life that I do like associate with, and it is interesting because I've never like thought about, usually when you associate yourself with a character in a show, it's a character that like maybe kind of looks like you or acts like you or has the same interests in you, so it's neat having that not happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been noticing that even just in the first handful of episodes, actually, that even if I don't necessarily relate to a character, a character will get introduced and it's like, I know someone who's just like that, or
yeah.
I know someone who I think, you know, like they share a lot of characteristics. They would be really into this character, even if the character is like a cat or a rooster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're like super human, even though a bunch of them are animals.
Yeah, like Princess Carolyn, who is a pink cat, who in one episode when she's on the phone actually like coughs up a hairball, and she like gets a present in one episode, and it's like she's like, "Ooh, a box!" And she opens it, and she's like, "With crinkly paper inside," and like literally the gift is crinkly paper inside a box, and then she like bats it around. But she, when things aren't going well in her life, she helps other people. So she'll like get super invested in her work, or she'll get super invested in helping like her friend get off the couch and get a new job. And there are so many people who are like that in real life.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a show where because I haven't watched a ton of it, but from last time, it felt like a show where the subtext was text, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's like all the stuff, like I've been rewatching Friends in the Office, cause I'm just going as basic as possible. And those shows, like, they basically work on subtext. It's like, well, what did you say? But what did he actually mean? And then a show like BoJack Horseman, they just say it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, the conflict comes up. So it's like, and that's, I guess, probably where the animal things come up. Because, like, you know, you might have a trait that's more cat-ish. But that we'll just have a cat.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, Mr. Peanut Butter is a perfect example of that.
Exactly,
he couldn't
be
more of a dog than the fact that he's a dog. And, well, like, with the subtext being text, there's an episode where they're going on Diane and BoJack are going on a tour for BoJack's book, and Diane says something that she doesn't mean to be a big thing. She just says it sort of as like a little side comment, and then everyone freaks out about it. And then when they go to like the next spot on the book tour, everyone's just asking Diane about what she said. And then BoJack's like, "Hey, sometimes I like to text and drive," because he's trying to bring like the conversation back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's not subtext. That's very obviously BoJack trying to make everything about him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good, like, deep stuff like that. There's also a lot of just, like, surface level little jokes that are, like, way more funny than they should be.
Yes.
Like, just one of the first couple of episodes where BoJack's, like, gets mad at, like, these three girls at a bar, except, like, only I think one of them is actually human. And he like yells at them, and one of them, who is a chicken, like lays an egg.
Yeah.
Out of fright.
Yeah. And before she lays the egg, he was like, "Just wanted to let you know that I came to this bar to have a good time and you've ruined it." And then she was like, "Why didn't you just go home?" He's like, "Cause I didn't think of that."
At what point, Farron and Matt watching this, cause I mean, I'm still in episode 8. Season 1, I've been watching a bunch of other shows, just finishing Sopranos as well. But at what episode or what point were you watching this show and you said, "Dang, I love this show. Like, this show is fantastic. I love the characters, I love the writing." What point did that happen? Did that occur to you?
I'm just going to look quickly through Netflix because I don't remember what order the episodes happen in anymore.
Okay, not all of us have Tiago's superhuman ability to remember episode names, yeah. numbers, and titles.
I'm sorry, just yeah. it's like that for me.
It's impressive. Like, it's yeah. what it is.
What do you mean? You don't know the season, episode, number, title, writer, air date, and the time at which
I
you originally
do
watched
know
it?
And
those.
The guest director. Yeah, we know you.
Yeah,
you just played
you.
Over it many times over the last like 4 years. No
That's
one's
true.
It.
Yeah.
I would probably say the episode where Diane's, it's kind of a spoiler, but not really because it's the first time we meet the character right when it happens.
Go ahead. Spoiler alert, anybody. For everyone, sorry.
The episode where Diane finds out that her dad dies and she goes to
Boston
to,
yeah
for the
one.
Funeral. Funeral, air quotes.
Yeah.
Because I just felt like it was like the first moment where it was like, whoa, like this is really real and this is something that like a lot of people like experience, and the way that it was done was really well and they showed so many different character reactions. Mm-hmm. There's also some really, really funny jokes, like her family is Vietnamese and but they have super Boston accents, and the brother makes a joke or makes a comment about hating immigrants and not wanting them taking our jobs.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're Vietnamese, we are immigrants. And they're like, no, we're Americans. And then BoJack comes in, and he's like, does anyone here speak English? Because they're all Vietnamese. And then somebody says something, but in like a super thick Boston accent, and he was like, I will repeat, does anyone here speak English?
Yeah.
So it's a really funny episode, but it's also like a really thought-provoking episode.
And kind of an eye-opener, too.
Yeah.
Like, realizing that, like, man, or, you know, sometimes when you meet up with people for family gatherings, they're not as cheery and, you know, peaceful or... air quotes happy as they are portrayed in other TV shows or even on commercials or what you see online or in, you know, magazines, how everyone's having a good time and smiling. It's in reality for most people, not everybody, but for quite a few number of people.
No, I'm happy all the time.
It's not
every
great.
Time.
Yeah.
And it's also the first, it just got bright in here. It is also the first episode where we see BoJack do something nice.
True.
And did something very nice for Diane. So it's a lot of like firsts happen in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I was trying to find it when I was looking through the list, and I can't remember what it's called.
I think it's season one, episode 6 or 5 or something.
And the only reason you know that is because you just watched it.
Actually,
right?
I just watched that. No, back in May.
Okay.
So sorry. I just.
How dare you doubt his abilities?
Whatever.
Matt, what about you? What moment did the BoJack love?
It's episode 5. Season 1, episode 5.
I said 5 or 6.
Live fast, die Nguyen.
Okay, I didn't know the name, but I knew it was around there. Anyways, Matt.
I think it's still sort of sinking its hooks into me. I wouldn't say I'm 100% hooked yet, but I can feel it. I can feel it coming. Like just something like the conversation that BoJack and Diane have the first time they meet. You know, talking about relatable moments. It's like, I've had that exact feeling, like what Diane talks about, like feeling weird at parties. It's like, this is exactly how I feel every time, you know, I'm in that same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like there have been, you know, little moments like that. And, you know, just also the show being really funny. I'm feeling it digging its hooks into me. I haven't had like one solid moment where it's like, yes, like I'm totally sold now. But I can sort of feel it happening.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm the same way. I feel the same way as you in terms of, the show itself. I remember my youngest brother, who's really into it now, he watched it for the first time, and he watched all of season one, and he's like, yeah, I hate this show, it's terrible, blah, 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 blah. But then I think someone either encouraged him, or he just decided to give it a second go because he read about it somewhere, or someone encouraged him, like I said, and now he's in love with the show. Like, he's can't wait for season 5, and he encouraged me. He's like, you know what, man, forget what I said about it being terrible, just give it a watch. Like, it starts off slowly. He's like, season 1 isn't that great, but then season 2, that's where it takes off. And to be honest, when I started watching it, I was actually enjoying season 1, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, I could kind of see why he didn't like it, just because he's very particular about certain TV shows. Like, he doesn't like Scrubs, for example.
Okay. He's dead to me.
Well, I rewatched Scrubs because I had seen the whole, like, up to season 5 or whatnot, and I rewatched it. And it wasn't really grabbing me when I was younger. Like, I don't hate it, but I just wouldn't take the time to watch it.
I can see how people wouldn't like it, but it's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Well, and there you go, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Always Sunny in Philadelphia is one of my favorite shows, arguably my favorite show of all time. And season 13, last premiere last week was pretty good. But I could totally see people not enjoying it. Like, one of my good friends, Chris Baracchi, does not like it at all. And, you know, that's just the reality. But he also, but he likes The Sopranos, and I like The Sopranos. So, you know, it's just different strokes for different folks. Yeah. There you go.
Having only seen a handful of episodes, it seems like it's a show that benefits from a rewatch.
Yeah.
Already. Oh, you know, it's, yeah, because it's not just like joke. You know, there's sort of more stuff going on. So, like, already, I think,
It's layered.
It was sort of like Breaking Bad for me. I didn't like it the first time I watched it.
Really?
Yeah. Got through season one, said that was boring, stopped, came back a couple of years later, and I was hooked from like episode one. So, like, I can see people not liking BoJack Horseman, but I think if you've watched it, went meh, I'd give it another shot because it, I don't know, even just half of season one or whatever, there, it's got a lot of stuff to it. I think, you know, giving it a second chance might be beneficial for some people.
That was me. Yeah. I might just jump in at season two, honestly. I was trying to look it on my Netflix to see if it remembered.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did not.
When we
like
did the episode. Yeah, I didn't think it was that great. And not like I didn't think it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the same way that this can be a weird analogy to make, but bear with me, guys.
Oh, boy.
Same way that I'm not huge on pumpkin pie. And it's not that I wouldn't eat pumpkin. Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
It's not that I wouldn't eat pumpkin pie. It's that usually pumpkin pie is offered with other pies. And I just prefer all other pies.
Okay,
so
fair.
In the same way that I liked this show, but it's like I could watch this show or I could watch stuff that I know I'm going to enjoy more. It's like I found that's why it never got to the top of my priorities list except for that one episode.
And I'm just
did.
Like, hey, I could start a new show or I could rewatch all of BoJack Horseman again.
I feel
today.
Like a lot of our generation is like that with The Office, though.
Yeah.
Myself
yeah.
included right now.
Which I am like, not. Like, I love The Office, but I have not seen all of it and I have zero interest in sitting down and watching from start to finish just because it's so episodical.
Is that a word?
Yes.
Episodical?
Episodic?
I don't know if I had the A and the L.
Checking the back computer right now.
I mean, I feel like it doesn't really matter. season 4 of BoJack Horseman goes a different route than the first three seasons, which I know none of you have seen it yet who are here, but there might be people listening who have. And I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed season 4 more than the first three. The first episode is a really, really funny episode where... Mr. Peanut Butter challenges the governor of California to a ski race to become the new governor. And it's really funny because they have to do this whole big thing to get this bill to pass. And then he's like, wouldn't it be great if I knew how to ski? And it's like, why did you choose that as the challenge? And it's a really, really funny episode. And Todd does his own little hijinks. And then episode 2, BoJack goes on a trip to Michigan to rebuild the house that the summer house that his mother went to when she was little. And there's a bunch of flashbacks to her being little. And it is like really, really, really interesting and really neat. And that is where BoJack is for most of season 4. And I have rewatched, like I've gone and just rewatched that episode and rewatched a couple other episodes from season 4. Season 4, episode 6 is probably the most I've ever related to an episode of television in my entire life. So if you're like, I don't care about watching shows in order, but if there's one episode that really stands out, I would say season 4, episode 6, which I'm not going to say the name of the episode on air, but...
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
Parental advisory...
Or spoiler.
Guidance or whatever.
Yeah. No, spoiler. It's not a spoiler. It is it has a swear word in it.
I see.
Parental guidance.
But, I mean, if you can't handle that word, then you shouldn't be watching the show anyway.
It's going to be a rough show for you.
But, and the way that season 4 ended off, it ended off with some, like, cliffhangers, but it also ended off with a very, very hopeful, like, beginning that will be starting. So, very excited. And Netflix released a trailer for season 5. Did any of you guys watch it?
I didn't because I don't want to ruin it for myself.
Yeah, same. Okay, I avoided for possible spoilers.
That's fine. There really isn't many spoilers in it. Diane cuts her hair, which is obviously
well,
isn't
that's a spoiler to me.
But which is interesting. Like the one thing that I noticed the most out of anything in the trailers was that a couple people were wearing different clothes and a couple people had different hair, which is like a big deal because the only time we ever see characters wearing different clothes is when it's flashbacks. Like in the 90s, they were all wearing different outfits. When Horsin' Around was on, they were all wearing different outfits. So that was pretty interesting because we knew there was going to be a change coming up in Diane's life. I'll just say that. So her cutting her hair is kind of like, ooh, maybe the change happens. So
interesting.
Very excited. No one will hear from me from the 14th to like the 18th because I'll be watching and rewatching BoJack Horseman.
That I highly doubt, but we have yet to see. We have to tune in.
More importantly, episodical is a
word. I was just going to say.
It is a word. Yeah.
It is a word.
Episodical is a word.
Yeah, you just schooled us all. Well done.
Yeah. It says here.
I am an English major.
Well, it says it's redirected from episodical here on thefreedictionary.com. It says, it says episodic.
Did we all look it up?
Relating
to. Did all three of nobody believed.
No, I didn't look it up. Relating
thank you, Matt.
To or resembling sure an episode.
No,
composed
no,
of a series of episodes.
I was looking something up, but it was the cast, which is, by the way,
yeah,
fantastic.
I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah, just like reading through the opening credits, I was like, wow, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big names in it.
Yeah.
A lot of big like guest star names too. Like I think.
Therefore you are.
Zach Braff is actually voiced by Zach Braff in the episode that he's in.
Cool.
JD.
Somebody validate my parking. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun.
I mean, just like a little bit far down in the cast list, there's people like J.K. Simmons, like Angela Bassett, Stanley Tucci. Like there's some big name people.
Who's Stanley Tucci? I know who Stanley Tucci is. Who does Stanley Tucci play in?
Herb Kazaz.
Oh my gosh! I totally knew that Stanley Tucci was Herb Kazaz.
Yeah,
yeah. Lisa Kudrow's in there.
Yeah, Lucy Kudrow plays an important character.
Okay. Yeah, hello. Alan Arkin, Jessica Biel, Andre Brower.
Is so Alan Arkin goes on. Lenny Turtletaub?
I hope so, because he really looks like a turtle in real life. No, he's J.D. Salinger.
Oh, he's J.D. Salinger. That's a spoiler that J.D. Salinger's in the show, but that's fine. I mean, not really.
Not if you don't know who J.D. Salinger is.
J.D. Salinger, author of Catcher in the Rye and others.
But mostly Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
So true.
Yes.
Yes.
Lenny Turtletaub, I don't know who does his voice, but he is somehow so adorable, even though he's an old Jewish man turtle. But like, there, at one point he is looking in a mirror and he's like, you look in the mirror and you see Secretariat, but I look in the mirror and I see an old turtle. Hello, old turtle. And I actually, every time I watch it, I have to pause it and laugh because I don't know why, but I just think it's so like hilariously adorable the way he says it.
Sometimes the like characters as animals is way funnier than it should be.
Yeah.
Like in like the second or third episode, they have Neil McBeal, the former Navy SEAL.
That's
and, like,
a good one.
Just the way that he like positions his head and the way his mouth is animated was so funny to me every time he spoke.
Yeah. There's one point where like a mouse is walking down the street and like a hawk is like flying. And it's really funny when they fly because they have like normal human arms and they just flap them and they fly. And an eagle comes and just like picks up the mouse and flies away. And it's like, oh. And they do make references to the fact that they're animals and that they eat animals. Like one, I think it's a human, is at a diner and orders a steak, and then the waitress is a cow, and she's like, here you go. And
yeah,
he's
I've
like,
seen
oh,
that.
Oh, sorry. But they do make way more reference to it later, too, with chickens. That's an interesting episode.
Certainly. Speaking of serving, where we gotta serve, I don't know.
You
know
right.
Yeah, serve I was serve thinking, goodbyes?
Like, yeah, I gotta serve goodbyes.
How are you gonna do this one?
Yeah. You know, I had a good streak going for a while, but you know what? Time to concede. Yeah, speaking of time, we're all out of it. There, I'll just stick to that one. But, yeah, we will be back next week with another episode of TV Talkers. We will be talking the Emmys next week. So if you want to hear our thoughts and discussion.
Specifically on, Emmy Rosum.
Yes. On the Emmy Awards, the primetime
Emmy
Awards.
That was a very BoJack-style joke, by
then
the way.
We will be with that for next week. But sign out for the TV Talkers this week. It is
Matt.
Farron.
Simon.
And Tiago. Take care, everyone. We will see you soon.